Title: Subnote Voicing Against Pads Beginner. All right, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the most important beginner skills in drum and bass, subnote voicing against pads. Because in DNB, the sub is king. That's the part that makes the track feel expensive, heavy, and physical. But the moment you add lush pads, stereo width, and reverb, it's really easy to lose that punch. You don't just get atmospheric, you get muddy, and once the low end is muddy, you can't fix it with some magic EQ move. You have to make good note choices and good arrangement choices. So in this lesson, we're building a simple 16-bar rolling DNB IDA in Ableton Live, drums, a pad progression, and a clean sub bass line that's voiced intentionally against that pad harmony. We'll keep it stock Ableton tools, and we'll focus on decisions that actually translate to real systems. Let's set the session up. Set your tempo to 172 BPM. Anywhere from 170 to 176 is fine, but 172 is a nice enter. Now make three tracks, one for drums, one for pad, and one for sub. Start with a super basic drum idea so you can feel where the bass sits. You can use a break if you want, but you don't need to get fancy. Think kick on beat 1, snare on 2 and 4. Hats or shuffle if you want, but don't get stuck here. The drums are just your grid so you can place the sub rhythmically. Next, pads. The goal with pads is simple. You want clear root movement so the sub has a map. If your pad progression is vague, you'll feel lost when you try to pick bass notes. On the pad track, load wavy double. Go for something soft. If you want to build it quickly, use a simple sign or basic shape style wavy double and add a little unison, like 4 to 6 voices, but keep the amount low. We're not trying to turn this into a super solid, just width and life. Now shape the envelope, give it a gentle attack, like 30 to 80 milliseconds, and a long release, like 1.5 to 3.5 seconds. That gives you that atmospheric wash. Now here's the first big rule that will save your mix. Keep pads out of the low end. And I mean musically and technically. So, add a Q8 on the pad track and high pass it somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz. Don't overthink the exact number. The point is, pads don't get to live where the sub lives. And teacher tip here, don't rely on the EQ alone. Check your actual pad MIDI notes. If your pad chord has notes down at C2 or something, and then you add reverb, you'll still get low mid fog even if you high pass. So keep the pad voicing physically higher on the keyboard. Aim for the pad living around C3 to C5. Higher is usually safer. After EQ, add a little chorus ensemble for width, subtle. Then add hybrid reverb, maybe 10 to 25% mix. Optional, auto filter with a slow movement can add vibe, but keep it gentle. Now write a simple chord loop. 8 bars is great. The specific chords matter less than the concept. You want a progression, where you can clearly identify each chord's root note. If you want an example, here's a classic DNB friendly one in F minor. First chord, F minor 9, then DB major 7, then Eb add 9. Then C sus sus4 resolving to C7. Nice and moody, but still readable. Cool. Now, before we write a single sub note, we choose the sub roll. This is where beginners usually go wrong, because they start placing notes randomly and hoping it works. You've basically got three rolls you can choose from. Roll 1 is root following sub. This is the safe, heavy, club-proof option. Sub plays mostly the root note of each chord. Roll 2 is pedal sub. The sub stays on one note, usually the tonic, while the pads move above it. That can feel dark and hypnotic. Very roller, very jungle. Roll 3 is selective sub. That's arrangement driven. Sometimes the sub plays, sometimes it purposely drops out, especially when the pads are thick. This actually makes your drops hit harder because you're using contrast. For a beginner, start with root following. Then try pedal as a variation after. Now let's build a clean sub instrument. On the sub track, load operator. Set it to a single oscillator, just oscillator A. Make it a sine wave. Set the amp envelope, fast attack, like 0 to 5 milliseconds. Keep it clean. Give it a short release, like 80 to 150 milliseconds, so it doesn't click when notes end. And if you're doing shorter notes, that release helps them feel rounded instead of choppy. Now add a simple device chain. First, EQ8. You might not need to do anything, but if the sub feels boxy, a tiny cut around 200 to 400 Hz can help. Don't high pass your sub, obviously. Then saturator, very gentle. 1 to 4 dB of drive, soft clip on. The point is not to fuzz it out. The point is to add a little harmonic content, so you can actually perceive the bass on smaller speakers. And important, trim the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. / B at the same level. Then utility, set width to 0%, mono sub, always. This isn't optional in drum and bass if you want it to translate to clubs and not collapse in mono, and throw spectrum at the end so you can visually check your fundamental. Now, the core skill, voicing the sub against the pads. Here's a mindset I want you to adopt. One bass note equals one chord meaning. Down in the sub range, tiny note changes feel huge. So if your pad is doing 9THS and 11THS and fancy colors, the sub doesn't need to explain all that. Let the pad be colorful. Let the sub be the identity. So we start with the club safe method, roots. Look at each chord root. In that F minor example, the roots are F, DB, EB, and C. Create an 8-bar MIDI clip on your sub to match the pad loop. Now write F1 for 2 bars, DB1 for 2 bars, EB1 for 2 bars, C1 for 2 bars. Just do that first. It will already sound like music. Now, quick beginner rule called the no surprises rule. If the pad changes chord, the sub either changes with it or it stays put on purpose as a pedal note. What you want to avoid is the sub kind of following, but not really. That usually doesn't read as creative. It reads as wrong note. Next, which chord tones are safe for sub? Most of the time, your sub should be root. Occasionally, the fifth is also super stable and powerful. In F, the fifth is C. It feels like strength without changing the emotional quality too much. The third is riskier in the sub range. It can be emotional, but it can also sound unstable or like the track is pulling in a weird direction. So as a beginner, root and fifth are your main tools. Now octave placement. A lot of rolling DNB subs sit around octave 1 as the sweet spot. If you go down to octave 0, it can feel huge, but it can also eat headroom and disappear on small systems. If you go up to octave 2, it may start feeling more like bass rather than sub. So here's the practical approach. Start at F1, or whatever your tonic is at octave 1. If it feels weak, try dropping to F0, but watch your kick and your master headroom. If it fights the kick, sometimes going up briefly, like F2 for a varination, can actually feel clearer. And that brings us to one of the best decision tools, kick fundamental versus sub fundamental. If your kick is really living around 50 to 60 HE, and your sub's strongest note is also living right there constantly, you'll get that who wins problem. Sometimes the fix isn't EQ. Sometimes the fix is, let the kick own the downbeat, and let the sub answer just after. Or choose an octave where the sub isn't stepping on the kick's main energy as much. Now rhythm. Rolling DNB isn't about holding one giant note forever. It's about a pattern that breathes around the drums. Try this as a starter 1-bar rhythm and loop it. Hit on the downbeat at 1.1, then 1.2, then a little pickup around 1.3.3, then another hit at 1.4.2. Mostly 8th notes, with a couple 16th style moments for movement. Keep notes short. Leave gaps. Those gaps are what makes the kick and snare hit harder. And pay attention to overlap. If your sub notes overlap and your release is long, you can get clicks or weird jumps. If you want clean hits, make sure notes don't overlap, and even leave a tiny gap. If you want connected movement, then you can go more legato on purpose, but do it deliberately. Now let's talk arrangement, because voicing isn't just pitch. Voicing is also when you choose to play. Pads are wide, they're reverby, they're emotionally big. That means sometimes the smartest bass note is silence. Here's a simple 16-bar plan you can copy. Bars 1 to 4, keep pads a bit restrained, maybe filter them slightly and keep the sub simple on roots. Bars 5 to 8, open the pads up, more width, maybe more reverb, and make the sub more rhythmic. Bars 9 to 12, pull the pads down or filter them so the sub and drums feel like the main event. That's your drop energy. Bars 13 to 16, bring the pads back, but reduce how busy the sub is so it stays clean. And here's a fun trick. Mute the sub for half a bar right before a phrase restarts. The next downbeat will feel twice as heavy, and you didn't add any distortion or compression at all. It's just contrast. Now we control conflicts using stock devices. On the pad, EQ8 high pass, again around 150 to 250 HC. If it's still muddy, try a small dip around 200 to 350 HC, maybe 2 to 5 dB. That's often where the fog lives. Then sidechain the pad to the kick. Add compressor on the pad. Turn on sidechain. Choose the kick as input. Start with ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds. And aim for about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. You're not trying to pump like house music. You're trying to make room so the low end breathes. On the sub, keep it mono with utility width at 0. If you hear clicks, Increase the release slightly or shorten the MIDI notes. Now do a super fast translation check early. This is a coach move that saves you time. Put a utility on the master and hit mono for 10 seconds. If your pad collapses weirdly, or the low mids jump out, you probably have too much width or reverb, or your pad register is too low. Fix that now, not after you've mixed for an hour. At this point, you've got a working foundation. So let's add one optional musical upgrade that still stays beginner-friendly. Approach notes. The idea is anchor plus approach. You hit the root for the chord, and right before you move to the next chord, you play a very short note one semitone above or below the next root. It creates motion without chaos. Keep those approach notes short, like a 16th or an 8th. They are transitions, not new destinations. Another safe upgrade, use the 5th as support, not as a replacement. So instead of switching to the 5th for a whole bar, you hit the root, and then you echo a quick 5th after it as a pickup. It feels powerful but keeps the harmony stable. If you want a practice task, do this in about 15 to 20 minutes. Pick a key like G minor. Write an 8-bar pad loop. Keep the pad's lowest MIDI note at C3 or higher, and still high-pass it. Then make two subversions with the exact same sound and level. Version A, root following. G to Eb to F to D, for example. Version B, pedal, just G1 the whole time, while the chords move above it. Listen and decide which feels darker, which feels more musical, and which feels heavier with your drums. Then do the translation test. Listen quietly, switch to mono for 10 seconds, and export a quick bounce to check on phone speakers. Quiet listening is underrated. If it's clear at whisper volume, it's probably solid. Let's recap the big wins. Pads can be harmonically rich, but they must stay out of the low end. Do it with MIDI voicing first, EQ second. For beginner safety, NB weight, voice the sub mostly with roots, and sprinkle fifths if you want power. Pick a sensible octave, often octave 1, and keep your sub mono. Use rhythm and rests to roll with the drums. Overplaying is one of the fastest ways to lose impact. And remember, arrangement is part of voicing. Sometimes the best sub note is literally nothing for a moment, so the next hit slams. This audio version is shortened for playback.